So I thank you for your work of ministry this past year, for the labor and sacrifice. The resources have come from this group of people, and God has truly done great and awesome things, and we celebrated that last week. But this week, it's Vision 2008, and the realities are that we don't know what this year is going to bring. We don't know all the things that will unfold, but we look forward to embarking on this year with God's presence and God's blessing upon us. And He has many surprises for us, no doubt. He is able to do great and mighty things, and we're to call upon Him, and He will show us those great and mighty things as we walk with Him. So I want to speak with you this morning about having a superior passion, because I think so much of what God will do depends upon the passion that God's people has. This is not a fabricated thing, nor do I think that at Grace Bible Church we can take January 13th and in some way fabricate or dream up in our minds what kind of plans God has for us or things that He will do. And it's all a surprise package, isn't it? But there is a part where we engage in those things, and we embark upon those things which we know that God would have us to be obedient to. And there's a definition of who we are, and there's a dependence upon the realities of how our life as individuals and as a church will go in direct relationship with our understanding of God's calling in our life, who we are in Christ Jesus. Because, you see, who we are determines how we act. It determines everything. That's why belief in Christ, the gospel, the salvation, the presentation of the gospel is so essential. Because to try to do God's work without being God's people, without knowing who we are, is ludicrous. And then to carry this a step beyond, to try to do God's work, losing sight of the reality that He has called us as His people for purposes, which the Scripture says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before ordained. He's got a plan. He has a plan for 2008. He knows where Grace Bible Church should go. So I want to speak with you this morning about having a superior passion. I took this phrase from our small group on Thursday night. I thought it was suited and perfect. And the conversation was as such that hey, I want to do these things. I enjoy doing these things. But I have, and it was in the context was a conflict with being here on Sunday. But I have a superior passion to be with Christ and to be with God's people. And that's it. I mean, that's having the big picture. That is understanding the eternal aspects and the importance of who we are and what God has called us to. So let's think for just a little bit about having a superior passion as God's people. There are many things that I want to share with you about this year. There's some really, truly exciting things that God has pulled together for us. And there's going to be coming out some emails and different information. We'll inform you and let you know some of the things that we're planning and looking at for the season. You were given a calendar in your bulletins, and so that calendar will help you as well with some things that be sure and mark your calendars in that regard. But I want to ask the question that I think is really perhaps the heart of whether this will be a good year or a bad year. And the question simply is this: why is it that we as God's people, that the Church of Jesus Christ, is so often deficient in divine power. For we would all agree, we would have agreement here this morning, that with God all things are possible. There's no limitation with His hand. God can do great and mighty things. In fact, we have our verses, call unto thee and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, which you know not. The Ephesians passage, He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. The passages that were spoken to Mary with God when she asked the question, how can these things be, when she was when she had conceived, when the Holy Spirit had conceived within her. And God said, the angel said, Mary, with God all things are possible, right? That's the God we serve. He's the one that is able to take our mere existence here in the short span of years that God gives to us and do incredible things through His people. In fact, He has called us to that. That's part of our calling, that we're to see His greatness, that we're to display His greatness, that we're to reflect the glory and the power and the grace of God. But I ask the question, why are we often so deficient in God's divine power? Now, here are some rules that I think that it's just some, I like to call it, kind of hate the term rules, but here are some principles in Scripture, are some rules that have to do with a superior passion for God's people. Something that's necessary for us, something that would be helpful and needful for us as God's people. First of all, there's the rule of desire. Scripture talks a lot about desire. And I love, one of my favorite books is Jonathan Edwards' Religious Affections, because he unleashes the heart. He says, God, the first great commandment is that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. First word out. Because God wants our desire. He wants our heart. He wants for us to love Him. And there's a relationship that He went to great ends to remove our sin as a holy God so that we could have a pure and clear and clean fellowship through Jesus Christ. Today we stand, we gather together because there's a longing in our heart to come and worship God. We want to come and acknowledge that He is God. We want to come and express in our relationship to Him. We want to know Him in a deeper way. And that's why we come to church. That's why we study God's Word. It's not an academic exercise. It is a pursuit for a deeper knowledge of the One who created us, the One to whom we belong. And there's God cares about our desire. He wants your heart. And so Psalm 107:9 says, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. Nobody can do that like God can. And we can pursue things in life, and we can go after our personal ambitions and attainments, and we may attain position or glory among men and many things that we can go after in life. But if we desire God, we've come to the essential and necessary thing. And so I would say that we're often deficient in divine power because we simply don't desire God enough. This year I want to see His power. I want to see His presence. I want to be with Him. Whatever we do, wherever He takes us, He knows the plan. He's the commander. We don't know the details and what will unfold, but I want to grow in my passion for Him. I want to grow in desire for God, for His will, for Him to be with us and for His presence. I think of Moses that said, God, if You don't go with us, I ain't going. That's the way we should be. God, whatever we embark on in 2008, if You ain't going to be there, we ain't going. We want His presence. We want His blessing. And the Scripture says that He satisfies our longing soul. He fills the hungry with goodness. Now, here's a point to be made. One of the first rules on desire is that as God's people, we're simply not broken. We're not longing for God in such a way that that desire within us can't be quenched with enough of God. And so, as God's people, we want to develop a deeper passion for Him. We want to grow in what we talked about last year in the purpose that God has for us in magnifying Jesus Christ. And there's many ways that we do that. When I looked out and said, rise and have fellowship, I mean, man, it was instantaneous. You were glad to see one another. And there's that expression of love and fellowship that comes in Jesus Christ that is a reflection of the glory of Christ. I love that. It's precious. It is a precious and beautiful thing. And so we want to guard the unity of our fellowship, and we want to hunger for those things that God would have us to hunger for. But as God's people, we need to be broken. We need to know that the satisfaction comes only from Him, connected to Him. For Christ is the vine and you are the branches, knowing His life within you by faith, knowing that He sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that we can have not only fellowship with God, but with one another in a unique and beautiful and sweet and precious way. But it comes in brokenness, with the realization that, God, I'm a sinful person. And apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, apart from His supernatural work in this pitiful and pathetic heart, then I am bound by all kinds of junk and will continue to be bound by that junk. And so it's out of brokenness that God's power is known in God's people. It's out of the reality that we're a bunch of sinners here that have been saved by the grace of God and in desperate need of His ongoing work of grace in us and through us to His people. For He has called us for such things. And there is where He satisfies the longing soul. There is where the fulfillment, the completion is. And you can't find it anywhere else. There's no other place for it. It's just through Jesus Christ, to God the Father, a relationship with Him in which He has given us meat that we know not of. And such was His words to the disciples. He satisfies the longing soul. So the rule there is that God, you know, it says in 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It's out of brokenness and out of utter dependence upon God that we find our strength, that we find the divine power that is essential and necessary, and that Jesus Christ was ready and willing to go to the cross of Calvary in order to pay the price that we as His people might know the fullness of that. But it comes out of brokenness, the acknowledgement, the recognition that we're sinful people saved by God's grace and brought into right relationship with Him. So let's think about it just a second. As God's people, there's a decision for us. In light of that reality, in light of the reality that God desires to know us, and He got desires that as broken people that we might come and be filled and have our longings satisfied as only God Himself can do. And the question becomes, the challenge to us, will I dispose of my pride and personal ambition? Believe that God will give His glory to none other. Anything that He does through us as a small group of people and as a church this year will be because we're broken people. It will be because there's a disposing of pride and personal grabbing on to things for the greater glory of God. And if we can learn as God's people to long for such things, if we can learn to pursue that above all other things and to push aside the pride and personal ambition, then we'll know the fullness of that divine power. And we will not be deficient in it. We will know His glory. He will magnify the name of Jesus Christ in our presence. And we'll know great and mighty things. He'll show them to us. What other thing could we hope for as we begin a new year and begin to start? But the question becomes for God's people, will I bow my knee in brokenness, pushing aside the pride, pushing aside the personal agenda, pushing aside the personal ambition to pursue and to press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It all depends on where our values are, what's important to us, right? But a decision, it's decision time in our heart as God's people. Do we want to see God's power? There's a call for a decision. Secondly, will I seek satisfaction in God alone? It's like I was reading a quote this week from, I believe it was Chambers, Oswald Chambers. And he said, it's not a really great thing to wait on God. But when you take it a step forward so that you're waiting on God alone, so that's really something. And probably few people really do that. You know what I'm saying? For instance, your finances are bad. Things are going bad for you. And you pray and you cry out to God and you say, God, help me. God, please help. But then we begin to look for those, well, practically, now, how's this going to work out, don't we? Say, well, you know, where is this help going to come from? And we begin to depend on people. We begin to depend on things and to try to find our security in something else. But think about it. If we as God's people had abandoned toward Him, so that we're not looking for some special program or for somebody's personality to change so we can finally get along or any of those type of things that we often look for and hope for. But if we just wait on God alone, if we just learn to look with faith and say, you know, with Him, all things are possible. And I have found Him so faithful. And He is so loving and kind. And He knows how I feel. May not feel like it or seem like it. And it may seem that God is silent, that God has given us silence at times. But that's just a test of the faith, isn't it? What He wants is by faith for us to trust in Him alone. And there we will find divine power. There we'll see His greatness. There we'll see Him magnified. And what we will say is, to God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. That's the key. So the question becomes, will I seek satisfaction in God alone? For He satisfies the longing soul. He satisfies the longing soul. God satisfies it. Not people, not friends, not family, not other things. He is the Creator. I love the passage. He raises up those that are bowed down and all those who fall. And the eyes of all are upon Thee, O Lord, for Thou shalt give them their meat in due season. He opens His hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. That's me and that's you. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. Can you trust Him with that? It's a question. It is a call, a decision in your heart personally. I'm speaking to you personally. God speaking to you personally. Will you trust Him to satisfy you? Well, sometimes we're deficient in God's divine power because we're looking for other sources. We're looking for something practical or pragmatic instead of by faith looking to God alone to satisfy us. So I want to challenge you to look to God and seek God for your satisfaction. Okay, let's move on then. There's more to think about. A second point that I would like to consider is, it's a favorite quote of mine. I know I've said it before, but it's such a beautiful thing. Miles Stanford said, every Christian will become at last what his desires have made him. We are all the sum total of our hungers. The great saints have all had thirsting hearts. Their cry has been, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Their longing after God all but consumed them. It propelled them onward and upward to heights toward which less ardent believers look with no entertainment of reaching, no hope or entertainment of reaching. Why not? Why don't we know God's power? Well, the Scripture teaches us that God gives to the longing soul, the one that desires, the one that values His grace finds His grace. And so every Christian will think about that just a moment. We'll become what we desire. Doesn't that make sense? All of our pursuits center around what we desire, where our heart is. And Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? If I get those words right. But the desire of the heart, that's why the first great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Treasure Him. Desire the glory of God, the eternal things. Pursue those things. Press on. The Apostle Paul pressed on for the mark of the high calling. It was the surpassing knowledge of the greatness of Jesus Christ that he sought after. Those are the things that we need. Those are the things that make us deficient in divine power. Hunger for God. Desire His things. Desire what He knows is best for you. What you need most. Okay. So, the point is this, that sometimes we don't see God's divine power, we don't experience God's divine power because we do not value it properly. God gives to those who treasure it. God gives His grace in greater degree to those who long for it and understand the value of it. You understand? I mean, it's a simple thing, it's a simple principle, but it makes sense. God doesn't open His hand to us oftentimes because we simply don't desire the proper things. And so He withholds them from us. And we say, where is God? I'm praying, I'm longing, I'm looking, and I don't, you know, where is He? But He's increasing our hunger for things. He's increasing our hunger. And as you go and you walk through life, we went to the pre-trib conference this year and we looked at some of the prophetic events and things taking place. As we began to look at those, you know, and see the problems, some of the problems in direct relation as the unfolding of prophecy comes about. And you see the conflict of this, of man, autonomous man becoming taking the throne, and the conflict between this rebellion against God and the events as they unfold, and as you begin to see those things, you begin to long for that blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, who is able to justly rule and correct things. You begin to long for heaven, to be with Him. And you begin to have an understanding, a longing that, hey, this is not my home. I'm passing through here. But I belong with Him. I belong in His presence. I belong with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the one who has the answers to some of these awful problems. And we begin to value things differently. We begin to look with a languid eye toward those things that God has for us in the future, and that the promises of God, and knowing that things aren't right, but that God is still on His throne, and that one day they will be. And so we begin to value things differently. I love this. It's a quote that I've often heard. This is John Knox, who is part of the Reformation, the Reformation in particular that he was involved with was in Scotland, and he prayed. His prayer was a simple prayer, but it was recorded and given to us. Give me Scotland or I die. That's passion. That's desire. That's in the mind of a man of God. Someone that knows the greatness of God by faith in such a way that he would ask for a country. I find that phenomenal. And, you know, I'm one of those Christians that look on with their longing after God consume them. I say, man, there's a guy that was consumed. It propelled him onward and upward to heights toward which less ardent believers look with no entertainment of reaching. So I'm kind of like looking at this guy and saying, man, I wish that I I could look at the United States of America and say, God, give me my country. Give me my country back. Turn our hearts to repentance and believe. And believe that God is able to do all things, anything. Believe that He's able to turn a nation to repentance. Did you know that we're in an election year? Have you caught that yet? Man, it's a mess out there. You know, we've got candidates that I don't even understand basic things like human life. We've got issues, moral issues, abortion, where the bloodshed in this nation, this country, it's just phenomenal. And we have to answer for it. And it's crucial. I mean, these are not things that we can yawn at. We you know, as God's people, we need to engage by prayer, and we need to have such faith. Long for someone that says, "Give me the United States or I die." Someone that's on their knees before God that will seek Him in such a way. And man, I look at our country, I say, God, I don't see how we can even be brought to repentance at this point. We've got so much blood on our hands, and the promotion of pornography, not only in the United States, but all over the world. I mean, we're the center of it. I don't know what God's going to do with us. I really don't. But I know that we need candidates that are in there. We need to pray for these candidates. We've got these internationalists, people on both sides of the fence. There's nowhere to go. I mean, they're not even patriotic anymore. They're simply, they have the idea or belief in an international government, the exaltation of autonomous man to rule. It's the setup for the Antichrist. I mean, it's a mess. And all of these things are happening before our faces. And here we are, the homosexual activist agenda is taking our children. And we're quiet. We're silent about it. And we need hearts of faith. I mean, we need some social change here. And so it's outside of the comfort zone. But if we look at them, you know, you go back, George Mueller. Here was a man that looked with compassion one evening into a window in England, and he saw a child up there in a insane asylum, and said, "We need an orphanage." He conceived it in his mind. The compassion of Christ compelled him, and he took action. And God used this man to glorify Himself and to take in thousands of orphans. That's just an idea. It was just the desire in his heart, driven by compassion for others in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that great things were done. And others of us looked on and said, "Man, we got bad problems here. Got orphans out there, man. They're gonna put them in the insane asylum." You know, George Mueller looked with compassion and said, "We can change that." Hudson Taylor. They told him, "You're crazy. Don't go into inland China. It's going to cost lives. You can't do that. You can't take the gospel in there." Everybody warned him against it. Everybody stood against Hudson Taylor. He couldn't even find anybody to sponsor. Had to start his own mission. But he said, there are people in there. Millions and millions of people. And the compassion of Christ compelled him to do what others would not do. Now, the great things that I've seen have all been done by people that had desire, that had a passion about the things that God has a passion about. And they came in unity with the purposes and plan of God, and they looked at things different from the way that other people look at things, and they took action because they believed that with God all things are possible. They believed that when He said, "Call on Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not," God was able to do that. He would do that. That's what we need. We need to be infused with that. Then we'll know the power of God. Then we'll know His divine power in our presence, because the glory of God will be the only thing that we really care about. Everything else in life is just incidental. But the pursuit of that will become a passion in the hearts of God's people. That's what we need. Give me Scotland or I die. Have you thought about it? Give me San Marcos or I die. That's crazy, isn't it? But why not? Why not? So proud of a young man that came up from my youth group in Houston. He went with the Navigators. He's presently in pursuit of going to a country that no one has been able to get into. But in his missions class, they told him the 1040 window, you know, that area where the majority of the greatest majority of the population of this earth is, that it's a colossal task. We can't get missionaries in and cover the 1040 zone. And he said, why not? Because who is God here? You know, and what does God want? The question was, what does God want? And with God, all things are possible. And he said, why not? That's what it should be. That's the way we should be as God's people. Give me Scotland or I die. How about praying? Give me San Marcos or I die. Well, how about seeing the reality of God changing hearts and lives and the power of it? We can be a part of that. He's the same God. He's the one that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. He's the one that dwells in our hearts. Why do we not conceive it? Why do we not know God's divine power in such a way? So let's go back to a call to decision here. Am I compelled by Christ's compassion? We need to be compelled by the grace of God, by the power of God. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I read in some of the